that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me. I even put that basketball underneath my pillow. Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night. I need help, ladies and gentlemen. I need someone to stand beside me. I need someone to set a pick for me at the free throw line.
I'm going to give you a number tonight to walk them in. Tennessee loses tonight 83-70. Probably the second worst effort of Tennessee's basketball season. Not wanting to get overly critical of them, but you got to bring more energy than that on the defensive end. Or with the talent level this team has, you're going to get beat. What did Tennessee in my mind was played really well in the first half. I mean, you look up at the score at halftime and you're thinking, God, this game, you should be up 7 or 8. How are you not? Well, it's real simple. Tennessee turned the ball over 4 times in the first 29 possessions. They had 10 possessions to close the half, and they turned the ball over 6 of those 10 times. Not going to win like that. Not going to win. Florida had 5 turnovers in their first 10 possessions of the first half. 4 in the final 29. So they figured something out. And I knew when I saw the great shots Florida was getting, I told my guys in my text chain, I said, we're getting beat 10-plus tonight. Can't let somebody have it. You just can't. You cannot let somebody consistently have great shots on you like that and win in this league. It's not going to happen. So Tennessee loses tonight. And now the Vols are teetering in that danger zone here in the league early. And what looked like it was could have been a really promising start with Arkansas. And the Vols are now, to quote the Macho Man Randy Savage, the Vols are now a little bit in the danger zone here. As I welcome you into another edition of your Smart Way, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Tennessee loses on the road to Florida. Kevon Allen, it was his show in the second half. 4 threes, and what can you say? Talent's talent, and he went off. And I bring San Antonio Jones in now and Keith Hatfield. Gentlemen, good evening. How we doing tonight?
How you doing, Tony? How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys?
Keith, Tone, let's start where we want to start tonight. I look at the key to tonight's game, kind of like the Arkansas game. You got to close that first half getting better possessions. And look, Tony Jones, God bless Dietrich Mostella. He's wildly talented, obviously. But he does some mystifying things on the basketball court at times. And tonight he really hurt the Vols at the end of the first half. No offense to him.
Yeah, Dedrick, you know, he giveth and he taketh away. And I agree with you, Tony. We should have went into the half up more than 33-32, but that wasn't the case. But, you know, it's still 20 more minutes to play. And we were in a position, especially after Dedrick hit that three under the 8-minute mark, to cut it to 2, I believe. It was either cut it to 2 or cut it to 1.
Mm-hmm.
But then Kevon Allen, just made 2 dagger threes. And Florida was never headed, after that. But I mean, you mentioned it. Defensively, you know, we just didn't show up in the second half. They go 7 for 7 from 3 in the second half. They just seemed like they had a runway, a pathway to get to the basket, and it was a disappointing performance, especially in the second half. And just like I've talked about on occasions, and I talked about earlier when I was talking to the Saturday Splash up in Clarksville, Tennessee. This team's got to come to play with maximum energy each and every time they play a SEC contest. And if they don't do that, you're going to get these type of results.
Keith, your thoughts off the top.
Well, I mean, everybody's going to make a big deal about Florida shooting 70% in the second half. Name me a team in the top 50 that's not going to shoot 70% if every damn shot they shoot it or a layup
damn straight.
Or a wide-open three.
Damn straight. That was not an acceptable defensive effort. It just wasn't.
No, it was summer league basketball. That was a Rocky Top League game in the second half. That's why that thing should be abolished.
Tony, what do you, when you're coaching and you get lulled and pulled into one of those games where your kids just don't have the juice, how do you counteract that? Because everybody goes through that. Everybody goes through that, Tone.
Well, you know, first and foremost, Rick Barnes, in my estimation, is an excellent coach. And, you know, he was into the game. He was after the officials. I like that. You know, it was an illustration on the telecast that a Tennessee basketball coach hasn't got a technical foul since 2011. And obviously that was our staff back in 2011. I like Rick's passion. For the most part, these kids are playing hard. But like I have to go back to, you know, you just gotta get consistent performances out of these guys. And I don't know where Robert Hubbs was at tonight. I mean, you know, he was missing in action. Grant Williams only scored 6 points. He fouls out.
Weird night for Grant. Hey, guys, really strange night all the way around for Tennessee, because early on in the game, Tennessee's getting good shots, and they're forcing Florida, Keith, into settling for long shots, fast shots. It looked like early on, boy, we got this thing right where we want it. We got the pace of the game. I felt very good early on in the game. You know, we can track meet a little bit as long as we force them into taking bad shots. All of a sudden, Keith, they start getting one layup after another. And tonight's game, not in a conventional sense of being inside out, but tonight's game became inside out, because as they got those easy shots, they started to get those easy threes. And those easy threes, I mean, you know, Allen, if you leave him open from 19 feet straight away, or 20 feet 6 inches straight away, he's hitting that shot. And he's gonna hit it 4 out of 5 times like he did tonight in the second half. But I thought it was weird, because early in the game, it looked like we had the makings of an upset victory.
Well, it appeared that Florida hadn't done a scout, because they didn't attack the rim for the first probably 10-15 minutes, and then as soon as they did, it became a turnstile.
Yeah, it was surprising. Guys, it was startling to me to see them turn us inside out like that. And we haven't looked like that, Keith, in my opinion, since the Tennessee-Chattanooga game. They got a bunch of easy shots, and we looked small in that game, or whatever it was, flat-footed, whatever the term is. And look, this is a long season, and you're going to have these nights. Everybody has them. The best teams in America have them. Everybody has nights where they get away with it, some of the best teams, because kind of like North Carolina against us over there, they got guys that make plays late, and, you know, we're just not there talent-wise in terms of being able to overcome something like that. Anything else stand out to you two guys before we go to the numbers, and then we'll get some phone calls in at 865-200-5402. Anything else stand out to you two guys outside of the tremendous play of Admiral Schofield, who I thought performed admirably, even though he picks up his fifth foul about, you know, way away from threatening position? And Barnes, you would have thought he would have gone off on the refs there. He doesn't. He goes off on the kid. He's like, what are you doing? You're a million miles from the basket. What are we doing here? Anybody else, any thoughts before we get some numbers in here?
Well, I mean, I think that's the lack of focus you saw at Tennessee tonight. Admiral Schofield commits his fifth foul, rooting a guy out in the post, which has been a point of the emphasis all year, with the ball barely across half-court offensively, and then Grant Williams hip-checks a guy 45 feet from the basket on a hedge to foul out.
Yeah, it was not exactly, Tony, time capsule material from the Vols. Let's look at some of these numbers, and I want to know what from you guys surprises you as I remind you Tennessee loses tonight on your smart way. Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. I tell a friend that we're on right now, we do this as a labor of love for us. Tennessee now falls to 1-2 on the year with South Carolina coming up here in Knoxville, and then a trip 1 week from right now down to Nashville where a Vanderbilt team that's all of a sudden found its footing awaits. Tennessee, both teams in the game, finish 50% from the field. Guys, how many basketball games in modern college basketball do you think will be played? Tony, there's 300 and some odd teams, 150 or some odd games, whatever the number is. How many games do you think, Tony, tonight will be played where both teams shoot over 50% from the field?
Not many. And I've seen a lot of stat sheets after games, and I've looked at them, I've explored them, I've examined them, and that's just not the case. First of all, you know what, to be honest, I don't think Florida was as engaged a basketball team in the first half.
Agreed.
And that gave Tennessee opportunity.
Agreed.
To be in the game and to garner that confidence, to be able to put themselves in a position to win. But, in the second half, Tennessee just didn't show up defensively. And that was a problem, and that's got to be rectified. On a positive note, we talked about the Admiral Schofield, you know, a double-double, 18 points, 10 rebounds. I thought that, Jordan Bolden came out, especially at the beginning of the second half and kept us in the game, knocking down threes, and again, garnering that confidence to say, hey guys, we're going to be in this thing. We're going to be in this thing. Let's get this thing to the 10-minute mark. Let's get this thing under the 8-minute timeout, and maybe we can win the basketball game. But defensively, we just didn't put up. I mean, these guys were just shooting, shots that wasn't contested. And then if you give a guy like Kevon Allen, open looks, then he's gonna knock down.
Oh yeah, he's knocking you out. Let's go through some of the numbers. Cause again, I'm gonna say, how many of these numbers, and I'll start with you, Keith Hatfield, are good enough to win? You shoot 50% from the field. You're 6 of 14 from 3-point land, which is 43% on the road in the Southeastern Conference. That looks like a win. Then you come down and you look at it. You got to, you're 77% from the foul line. You're 10 out of 13 in a tough environment. That's a number that's good enough to win. But here's the deal. You commit 19 turnovers. Six of which, Keith, occurred at the end of that first half where you played a nearly perfect game and then you just throw it up at the end of the first half again. And that's got to become a point of emphasis, don't you think?
Absolutely. I don't have the numbers in front of me, Tony. What were the total field goal attempts by both teams?
Okay. So in the ball game, Tennessee was 27 of 54. Florida was 28 of 56. So a combined 110 field goal attempts for both teams.
So they get more shots because you throw the ball away.
Just two more shots, though. But yeah. Points off turnovers, guys. Florida had 25 points off Tennessee's 19 turnovers. Tennessee had 15 points off Florida's 11 turnovers. And again, I'm going to go back to this. You go back to numbers that are good enough to win, you're rebounding, you're even Steven, even though you go 6-3 across, and you're heavily, outsized. Tennessee 31-31. Defensive rebounds, Tennessee 22 to their 20. Offensive rebounds, they had 11, we had 9. Second chance points, they only had 11. And we had 8, and the game did not feel like that at all. How about this one, guys? Bench points. Tennessee outscores them 31-27. I guess my point is, Tennessee did enough on the offensive end tonight, guys, to get out of there with a win. But, man, you got to bring your lunch pail on defense on the road in this league or you will not win games. It's real simple. I mean, you just will not win. And I guess that's a lesson that a young team, Tony, has to learn. Is that going to be a point of emphasis for him? Because the film's not going to lie. I mean, these guys did not have whatever the term is I'm trying to use, the pace, help me out here, guys, the intensity. They just didn't have it on defense tonight.
Well, the word is commitment. I mean, and what we preach as coaches is we got to be committed to effort. That's the word. We got to be committed to effort on the defensive end. You know, we can't be hamstrung offensively. You know, we got to be able to play our game offensively within the confines and within the philosophy of what we do. But they didn't have a commitment to effort, especially in the second half. And you just can't have that. I mean, you're playing against the 24th ranked team
right in
the country.
Right.
And you're playing against the number one ranked RPI team in the SEC. So I'm dumbfounded by that. That's something that Rick and his staff, has to really, put in the guy's head in film session. You know, if I was the coach, I bring those guys in tomorrow morning and look at the film. Obviously, you gotta have, your number of hours that you can be with the team, but you have to make a point as to guys, listen, you know, we're 1-2. We got South Carolina who beat Texas A&M today. You got them coming into our building, and that's a good team. And then we're going down to Vandy, a Vandy team that just dismantled Auburn earlier in the week. Come on, guys, we're looking like a second division team that the prognosticators said we were going to be, and that can't happen.
No.
So you got to play upon their competitive nature to be able to get to them in that aspect.
That's a really good point. Keith, in this game, I continue to go down here. Tennessee fast break points. Tennessee 14, they only had 6 fast break points. I mean, which speaks to they did their damage against us in the half court. They did, and we got some run out buckets in the first half especially.
Well, I just think the half court defense was terrible. And to Tony's point, though, if that's the 24th best team in the country, college basketball is real top heavy because there are 8 teams in the Big 12 that would beat the absolute breaks off of Florida.
What'd you guys, and Keith, I'll go to you first. What'd you think of Dick Vitale's act tonight, Keith?
Well, they retired Bob Knight for being old and out of it doing games. I'm wondering why the same standard's not held to him.
Well,
damn, he just ripped your boy Dick Vitale. What are you going to do about it, Tony Jones?
You know I'm going to come to his defense. You know that.
Defending the indefensible. Tony, when we were kids, Dick Vitale was it. Dick Vitale.
Absolutely, he was the best ever.
Dick Vitale has the shelf life. He's like me in 2 years. It's over.
He's
for
Rick
him.
Flair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dick Vitale is a Detroit legend.
That's right.
He coached the University of Detroit.
That's right.
Back to the
Terry Tyler.
He coached the Pistons when they were in Cobo Hall, Tony.
He coached the Detroit Pistons. He was the guest speaker at my senior sports banquet.
Yes!
And Tony B and Keith. He was the announcer of my first collegiate college win over Vanderbilt on College Game Day.
Yeah. Here's the question. Where's Dick Versace when you need him? Or the late, great Chuck Daly? Let's go to the phones without further ado. 865-200-5402. We'll take him as we got him on a night where Tennessee sees Williams foul out, only a 6 points, 4 attempts, did not get, or actually only got to the line twice. Only got 1 board in the game. I mean, you want to see a line that you did not think you'd see from Williams. And this just shows you the unevenness you're going to get from freshmen. And you're going to get unevenness from freshmen, period, across the board in college hoops. Tonight he finishes with 6. He's 2 of 4 from the field. He gets to the line twice, makes them both, only has one board, no assist, five fouls, and two turnovers in 24 minutes. By far the worst game he's played here. By far. By far. And then Hubs, as you mentioned earlier, Tony, here's his line. And Keith, this is a senior leader. This is a guy that's supposed to be in Josh Richardson mode or in Jordy Mack mode right now. In other words, this is my team. I'm carrying my team. And look, I'm not knocking the kid because he's had a really nice, so far, senior season. But you're playing Florida. You're on the road. They're in the top 25. We all hate Florida. You're on a campus that hates Florida more than the common cold. I mean, people around here hate Florida more than I hate having poison ivy in my private areas. But here's the deal. He finishes with 8 points. He's 4 of 11 from the field. He's 0 of 2 from three-point land. He only has 4 boards. He only has 2 assists. And he turned the ball over 3 times. I mean, again, those are two guys right there that you need to play well if you're going to be successful in this league. And Keith, both of those guys, but particularly Hubs, because he's a senior, I mean, he just disappeared in that basketball game again.
When was his last basket?
Boy, that's a great question.
Did he have 8 at halftime?
He may have had 8 at halftime. Let me get the halftime stats. That is a great question. Let me see what, you're correct.
Yeah, I didn't think he scored in the second.
You're correct. His last bucket was a dunk to make it 26-23. Wow. Very observant by you. Actually, no, let me see here. In the second half, his last bucket was to make it 41-37. He hit a jumper. He had 2 in the second half. Which again, that ain't gonna work. I mean, I don't know what is gonna work. I do know that ain't gonna work. And let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. I want to thank my man Marcos Garza for keeping us ringing here. The great Keith Hatfield, the great Tony Jones, Marky Boy Griffin will be by a little later on to bring us some thoughts. And we'll get as many folks in here as humanly possible on a night where Tennessee loses at Florida. Next up is South Carolina Tuesday. And Frank Martin, it's taken him a little while to get the train up and running at South Carolina. Well, the train's up and running. They're healthy. And this is not a good spot to be catching them. Off to a 1-2 start. All of a sudden, Tennessee developing a few bad habits. And especially the end of finishing a first half. That's not a good trend. That's just not a good trend if you want to win league games. Let's go to the playoffs. Let's go to the phone. Somebody here on the Periscope just pissed me off, asking me how my Eagles are going to do in the playoffs. Tony Jones, you're showing some serious dedication because your Detroit Lions are in action tonight. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
And they will win tonight. They will. I'm calling the shot. They will put Jerry Colquitt's Seahawks out. Can you feel me?
I feel you. I feel when Russell Wilson say "Go Hawks" all the time when he's doing his announcing and everything.
Yes,
it's gonna be bye bye Hawks.
Bye bye Hawks to the phones we go. Little too much Sierra for him. Little too much New World Order. Let's get our first phone call in and let's get on the Smart Way Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome.
Hey guys, I got a real quick question. Where was Shambari Phillips tonight? He didn't play, did he?
Shambari Phillips in tonight's game played a total of 0 minutes. That's correct.
What's up with that?
Great question. Let me ask my expert, Keith Hatfield. Keith, what's up with Shambari Phillips and him not playing tonight? What happened?
I don't think there's any coincidence that Tennessee's recruiting about 5 guys right now and they've only got 1 scholarship left.
Meaning that...
Has he played pretty good this year?
I think when he's played, he has, I think.
Wasn't very good in the last game, and I don't think Orange is terribly impressed with a couple of the guys he inherited in their attitude and their grasp of what he's trying to get people to do.
Well, Grant Williams had a horrible night tonight. You know, really, we only had really 3 guys that I thought played well. And that was Bowden and Schofield and Mostella. I mean, other than that, I don't think anybody played well. What do you guys think?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think the numbers bear that out. You know, Alexander had an okay night. But again, a guy like Alexander, you cannot let as many people get to the bucket as got to the bucket. I mean, that's the most troubling thing from tonight's game. Sure, it's Hubs is disappearing. That's troubling. Your lack of, and I use Tony's term, which is a strong term. Commitment is a strong term, but the lack of commitment on defense tonight was really startling. Those guys just didn't have any juice.
Yeah, this is not like Casey Hill's the quickest point guard in the country.
No, and that Chioza guy, I mean, God, that guy gets on my last nerve.
Yeah, it's not like that was Josh Jackson or Frank Mason or somebody blowing by them out there.
Right. That should not have happened, is your point.
Yes.
Anything else for us tonight to our caller?
No, other than, you know, we always play. Seems like we've always played well at Florida. I don't care if it was Bruce Pearl,
yep,
or Kazo,
yep,
or anybody. I mean, we've always played pretty well. But that last game we let get away at home, boy, I think that's going to be our undoing.
Yeah, it's a pretty big loss. Thank you, brother. Thanks for the phone call. What about Shambari Phillips, Tony? What's your read on him as a ball player? And he gets no minutes tonight.
He's had some positive moments out there on the floor. I think, you know, as a coaching staff, you got to try and get with a set 9, maybe 10 guys, and some guys fall outside that realm at some portions during the year. This is a pivotal portion of the year for UT, especially with South Carolina coming up and at Vandy. Coach went with Jordan and Lamont Turner in the backcourt. He went a little bit with Quay Parker and Jordan Bolden, played well. So, I mean, you can't have everybody out there on the basketball floor. I thought Jordan, Bone played well at the beginning of the second half. I thought he came and he knocked down a couple shots, and then he made a really tough bank shot off the glass that keep him close under the 4-minute mark. He made some turnovers, and then Coach Barnes kind of got in his face towards the latter part of the game, and they had a heated exchange.
Yeah,
and I don't know what that was all about. Lamonte Turner was a little bit too much aggression offensively as far as hunting his shot when he was playing the point guard position.
And Keith, you made that point about him the last game. Lamonte Turner, maybe that's why more people see him as a natural too, because it looks like he wants to get his when he's in there, right?
Yeah, he's your typical modern combo guard. There's not anything I would consider a classic point guard in Lamonte Turner.
Finish, Tone, as you were saying. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I agree. I just think Lamonte was just looking for a shot a little bit too much, quick shot. And then we get back to the Arkansas game when we start talking about shot selection. The shot selection in the latter part of the first half was questionable. And Lamonte Turner was a culprit of that. We got Florida in an up-and-down game where I think even Dick Vitale even mentioned it. Wow, these guys are shooting quick shots, you know. But Lamonte Turner coming down the other end and shooting a quick shot. So, you know, consequently, you know, we missed some shots. And then they convert on the offensive end. And then you got a 33-32 halftime score, where it could have been probably a 5 or 6 point game, gave UT a little bit of a confidence going into the locker room, a little bit of cushion coming out in the second half, but that just didn't occur.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. As the great Tony Jones joining me along with the great Keith Hatfield, Tennessee Basketball Overtime presented by our friends at Smartway and your Garza law firm tonight Tennessee on the short end of an 83-70 loss, and really, really tough to see Tennessee go down in that manner. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us tonight, the great Marky Boy Griffin will be by a little later on. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome. You're on the air. Yes. Going once, going twice, sold. Next call. Hello and welcome in.
Tony, Brian in Asheville.
Hey, Brian. Welcome in, man.
Thanks. Yeah, new year. I haven't called in since the A&M game, so I'm going to change my name's kind of Leonard's Losers, you know, Percy Peabody, 1985. I'm going to go change this and go to Moons Over Miami. I think that's an IHOP or Waffle House meal. I'm not quite sure. So just got to keep it creative. Is that Barry foul shot the most epic thing ever? That is class. And he just nets it every time.
Hey, Tone, the guy's 85%. If a guy showed up shooting foul shots like that for you, what would you say to him, Tone?
Keep shooting them. I mean, I was so proud. This is the first time I've seen Florida play this year.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that Kenyon Barry was emulating his dad shooting the underhand free throws.
Yes.
Obviously, I remember Rick Barry.
Yep.
Rick Barry is an NBA champion. Rick Barry is one of my favorite players because I love his passion. Obviously, the lineage is second to none. John Barry, Scooter Barry. I mean, and now this kid, just a great basketball family. And just to see this kid shooting the ball underhand. Can you believe how he's been mocked on the road and by his teammates, you know, shooting free throws in this manner, but shooting better than 80%, and a key player, a key cog in a team that's in the top 25. Hats off to him, and can't say enough about the Barry family.
I love it. It's so next level, Brian, to see him shooting that. Keith, would it bother you to see a guy shoot underhand foul shots like that?
I'd be a lot more bothered to paying Andre Drummond $20 million a year to shoot 40% from the foul line overhand.
That's a damn good line. Why didn't Andre Drummond try that? Well, if you're struggling, like Dick Vitale said, when you watch it tonight, and Brian, it's a great point because it's so throwback, but it's almost like he's picking it up and just dropping it in the basket like you would if you're doing towels or something, you know?
How many more career points, Tony, does Shaquille O'Neal have if he shoots Avery's foul line?
It's no question. Rick Barry's so next level.
That, you know, and y'all make a good point with the defense. I mean, and Dick Vitale was saying that, you know, as much as we all kind of, you know, I don't like Florida, Kentucky, Dick Vitale's not nearly as bad as Musburger when it comes to, but he knows basketball. He gets it hyped up. I can't, but diss him too much. But, you know, back when Calipari, when Kentucky wins, he's talking about Procius, whatever his name was. I mean, pushed him defensively. We've got to push our guys defensively. And as much as that's a problem, I still don't like seeing Schofield as good a game as he had. You know, some of our turnovers were terrible. Like basic stuff, you think Rick Barnes, we've got this under control, where it's like throw it to the post guy under the basket. I mean, it's elementary not to put the ball on the floor, right? You go straight up or you go up with a pump fake or something. And some of our turnovers just trying to, why do you have to dribble? Go straight up. So hopefully we can iron that out. But I don't know. Ultimately, I think we're going to beat who we're supposed to beat, and we're probably going to lose to who we're supposed to lose, because that Texas A&M team, I think, may end up being, I mean, they got destroyed again today, I think, right?
What's going on with them, Keith? What's your opinion of what's going on with A&M?
Well, their guard play is terrible right now. I mean, granted, they don't have any experience back there. I think a lot of us probably underestimated how big a cog for them Caruso and Daniel House were.
But Caruso was a hard player.
I mean, House was obvious. It was obvious how important House was. I think we may have all kind of underestimate. I mean, I think we all knew Caruso was a key player for them, but I mean, they have not remotely replaced what he gave them.
Caruso is a heart and soul player for them, no doubt about it.
I appreciate y'all. Last thing I'll get off here, but offensively, it's amazing we did have a good game when Hubs and Grant Williams wasn't 100% on his game, but then Hubs was kind of silent, and we're missing Fulkerson for sure.
Yeah.
That's the silver lining, is that we have a good offensive game and all that happened. I mean, that's kind of shocking. But what do you think about Bone? You kind of mentioned it, maybe rookie, just young, freshman, kind of early mistake, Tony Jones. I mean, are we better with Bone or with that, or is it streaky? Should we fight through that?
It's weird. We were playing better basketball without him, which is really strange. And I appreciate your call, Brian. That's weird how they've added Bone, and all of a sudden they don't look the same. And I'm not saying that he's the culprit. I'm just saying that's just the way it looks. Now, that may be true. That may not be true. Tony, he mentioned your name. I'll start with you. And then, Keith, I want your thoughts on that. It looks like Tennessee is, I don't know, they're not firing on all cylinders offensively with Bone there. Tony, I'll start with you.
Let's give him some time, guys.
Okay.
Let's don't dismiss that he missed 9 games.
Yep.
And he's now trying to get back integrated into the system. I think, and just by watching him here recently, the last five games, and then watching Jordan play since he's been back, I think he's probably going to be the best option for them moving forward in the starting lineup, and having a Turner or Parker or whatever backing him up. And let's just see how that goes. Let's give him some more time on the practice floor with these guys, especially during this pivotal time when we got to go against South Carolina at Vander, and then we got to go to Ole Miss after Vanderbilt before, you know, we play Mississippi State, Kentucky, and K-State at home.
You get no breaks here from the schedule makers early on. Keith, what about Bone and the fact that since – he's been back, it doesn't look as cohesive offensively. Maybe that's my imagination, but it's a point Brian was making.
Well, I mean, you had a break of essentially a month plus where he didn't play.
Yeah.
And these aren't guys that have played together a bunch before. It's not like Tony Parker misses a month with the Spurs, to make an extreme example. I mean, he's played with them. Those guys have played together forever. I mean, most of these guys have never played together before this year.
Right.
So, I mean, you're adding a new part in, but I mean, as far as I'm concerned, and people can say what they want to, this isn't how Rick Barnes thinks. I'm far more concerned about making sure Jordan Bone is an all SEC caliber point guard when he's a senior than I am winning 2 extra games this year. I mean, I'm just being dead serious. So I'm far more concerned about developing him right now than I am winning a game here and a game there in this season.
865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us on a night where Admiral Schofield had 8 double-figure games last year, his first so far this year, and he had a double-double tonight, as you heard Tony allude to, Admiral Schofield. And guys, he got the baby hook going. I mean, everything was going for Addy tonight, Tone. I mean, he had some shots in his arsenal I didn't know he had.
Mid-range jump shot.
Yeah.
Was on point, especially in the first half. I mean, he really kept us, in the lead in the first half.
Yeah.
Admiral Schofield looked like, to be honest with you, he was the best player on UT's side in the first half. I mean,
so strange.
He was getting it done. I mean, he had 7 rebounds.
Yep.
In the first half.
Yep.
I mean, you know, let's give it up for him. He came to play. But just like I'll always go back to, this is a team, and everybody on this team has to contribute for them to win. They are not overly talented where they can have 1, 2, or 3 guys not show up. And in my estimation, Robert Hubbs didn't show up. You know, Mostello went 3-for-4 from three, which was good. You know, we didn't get the type of performance we normally get from Grant Williams. Lou Evans was, I don't know where he was at, tonight. And
poor Lou Evans. Good gosh, Keith. That poor guy. You know it.
You know,
I think he's just a poor fit. I think that ended up being, I mean, bottom line, if a guy's transferring, unless he's making a huge jump in competition, let's be honest at this point, yes, the difference between the SEC and the West, Mountain West isn't that great. If a guy's transferring as a senior, you kind of know what you're getting.
Tony, you know what I'd like to do with that kid? And I'm not sure it's watch him play basketball, but with my follically challenged state, I'd like to sit him down and have a hair harvest with him. That kid's got great hair. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in on your Smartway Garza Law Firm. Tennessee basketball overtime. Tennessee loses to Florida tonight. And we get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, buddy.
Hey, welcome in tonight.
Hey, Keith. Hey, Tony, John. Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing great tonight, Roger. Welcome in, buddy.
What's up, Roger? How you doing, man? Good to talk to you.
You too, buddy. It's been a while. Had it, buddy. It's been a while. Had to talk to you. How's stuff going for you? How you doing, buddy? Going.
Everything's going good. I appreciate it, and I'm glad to be able to communicate with you.
Yeah, it's so good to hear you on here now. We're Tony Killio and also Keith too. Keith, how you doing, Keith?
Keith's fine. Go right ahead, Raj. Go for it.
Hey, Tony Jones, what have you? And Keith, that's a good effort tonight. I was happy to see the effort tonight, and it's about we couldn't win at the end, but can't get to play a little bit of defense tonight. Like you talked about. While ago, Tony and Keith, I just want to ask y'all, Urban and Tennessee defense, would y'all have with Tony and Donald and Keith, would y'all have with Tennessee's effort though, with their effort overall tonight?
Were you happy with the effort, Tony Jones?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, Roger, we come into each and every contest undersized. We starting guys on the front line, the 6'5", you know, our three is 6'5", Mostello. I mean, we don't have great size to begin with. So you gotta have maximum effort from the guys that's out there. I've talked about this earlier in the broadcast where I don't think the commitment to effort was there, and that's unacceptable.
He didn't like the effort, Tony Jones did not like the effort, Raj. Unlike Doc, unlike the Doc across the street there. See, Doc's a big Kentucky fan, Doc Deerstone. Yeah. And see, he'd like to see Tennessee get beat tonight. See, we didn't like that, Raj. We didn't like that.
Yeah.
He's a Vol cat. He's a Vol cat, Raj.
No,
Tony Jones is a Vol. I'm a Vol. Yeah. Mark Griffin's a Vol. Keith Hatfield. I mean, no Vol cats allowed, Raj. We draw a line in the sand here.
Yeah. Tony and Keith, Tony, you talk about with Barnes, how do you, now Tennessee playing Carolina and Maryville next, how do you, Keith and Tony, Tony and Keith both, hey, after we bonded, how do you, I know your team, but how do you get them to play, get them to play better now?
Keith, South Carolina, how do they, what concern do you have about them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Thornwell and Dozier and Notice, if we don't guard the perimeter any better than we did tonight, they'll shoot layups all night. I mean, those guys, I think those three guys are better than Florida's perimeter guys with the exception of Kevon Allen. I mean, certainly, they're better than Chioza and Casey Hill. So, I mean, if you don't guard them, they're going to go to the rim and score on you all night. I think of the top level SEC teams, if Tennessee's going to get a game off Kentucky, Florida, or South Carolina, I think Wednesday night's the most likely among those.
So you're at home They have net. They're not very good on the road. This series has been kind of a home dominated series, Keith, hasn't it?
For the most part, I mean, certainly during Tony's tenure in Knoxville, we didn't lose much to him anywhere.
That's a great point. I remember going over there one night. We took a bus trip over there to South Carolina when it was for all the marbles in the division. They were handing stuff out. They had that guy that was from Western Kentucky. Darren, help me out, Keith.
Horn.
Another bad broadcaster.
Darren Horn.
Oh, God. And Tennessee just rolled them. They rolled them like a joint cigarette, to quote Herbie Hancock. Raj, anything else for us?
Tony Jones, will ask you. You played with your friend not long ago at Auburn, off of Tennessee. If you were Barnes, the coach, with Tennessee, how did you get Tennessee to play better, Tony Jones?
Let me tell you something about Raj tonight, Tony. Raj is sitting at his house. He's got a fever. He's got a sore throat. And he's got a cold. And Raj, I bet you did not go down. You didn't go to the Ingles, like I told you, right near your house. Raj lives a half a block from the Ingles. You didn't go get your NRC, did you, Raj?
No.
Did you go get you any airborne? Did you get you any airborne, Raj?
What's that?
I see. Airborne, now let me tell you, you get some airborne, you get some NRC, and then we put some brandy in a glass for you, Raj, some local honey, we mix it up, we put a little Diet Pepsi in it, and you'll come back again and again and again and again and again. Raj, I love you. God bless, man. I hope you feel better.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Raj. Who you like tonight? The Lions or the Seahawks? Who's going to win?
The Lions. Hopefully.
Thank you, brother. Best uniform in all of sports because we're Honolulu blue and silver. Honolulu blue and silver. Thank you, Raj. Good talking to you.
Okay, sure. You too. Okay, bye-bye.
That's my man right there. Let me bring Marky Boy Griffin in here, who's now on with Keith Hatfield, Tony Jones. And Mark Griffin is in here now with us, the former Vol great. So we have two guys that have coached, one who's played. Keith Hatfield, who's an expert, parlance. Myself, I'm not really sure what my role in all this is. Tony Jones, who's presenting your appearance tonight before I bring Griffin here?
I'm under the auspices of H3 Sports. You can reach that website as h3sports.org and the Knoxville Basketball Academy, knoxbasketballacademy.com. And we're going to have about six AAU basketball teams, and we'll be announcing tryouts in the near future, and we're looking forward to moving forward with some additional sponsors in the near future.
The great Marky Boy Griffin, I bring you in from parts unknown tonight, home of the Wolfman and other assorted great wrestlers of yore. Marky Boy Griffin, your thoughts on what we saw tonight?
Well, I'll just add to what y'all have already discussed earlier. The frustrating part for me, Tony, was the lack of defensive intensity. I hate to pick on Robert Hobbs, but I specifically focused on his intensity tonight and was thoroughly disappointed. I'm sure the coaches are going to have a heyday with him when they do film study.
Yeah.
Another aspect of the game that was perplexing that I even made a note with was, I think it was 8 minutes 56 seconds. Their two bigs had four fouls, and we never really changed our game plan to go inside to get a fifth foul on their guys.
8:56 line, which was 8:56 to go in the game. Mark, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And had a really good chance. They had two of their bigs had four, and really could have gone inside more because they were bringing in a guy, Skyler Rimmer, who played more minutes tonight, Tony, than he's probably played the whole season, and we could have really taken advantage of him and just didn't seem to really make that adjustment that I thought that the Tennessee staff needed to make. to get the ball inside more. But
to your point and the Keith's point earlier about how poor the defense was, and let me bring Hatfield back in here for a segunda. Keith, as we talk about this whole thing, Egbunu, who finishes with four fouls, only had 2 points in the game, and then the other guy that finishes with four fouls, the other big, is Hayes, and he only has 3 points. The damage was done by their backcourt and their three tonight. I mean, that's really who did the damage.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we did not get hurt by their, we didn't get hurt a lot by their post game, other than them keeping balls a couple of times in the first half, and we might have been able to get, I mean, certainly not control, you wouldn't say, but build at least a little bit of a working margin. They were able to volleyball the ball around two or three possessions on offensive rebounds and eventually get baskets. But no, I didn't think their post game was any grand problem for Tennessee. Tennessee's problem was they didn't keep their guards in front of them.
Mark, what about that spate of threes they hit and just how tough that is?
Yeah, it was an amazing run. Excuse my voice. I've been under the weather here lately. For them to go, I don't know if it was 7 of 7 from three second half. But once again, it was a lack of defensive intensity to make sure that you, what we call hedge, help and recover. When they're calling screens, you've got to be able to step out on a screen to make sure that they don't have the open three. There were several occasions where I saw Tennessee guards, when the screen was set, they would drop, more concerned about the drive than they were about the three-point shot, and then you left the guy wide open with no one guarding him 3 feet away.
Tony, your thought on our hedge defense and just the lack of overall energy. Is he right about that?
I agree. Keith mentioned it earlier, as far as keeping, our man in front of him. I mean, you know, as a coaching staff, we use the terminology, guard your yard. You gotta guard your yard. You gotta keep guys in front of you. And then you gotta have, help side defense and then proper rotation. We didn't get proper rotation. We didn't guard our yard. And then, We got out effort. You know, a guy that we haven't mentioned tonight on Florida's roster is Justin Leon. Justin Leon has 17 points, and he just looked like he had more energy than any of our interior players.
He balled out. He was probably the difference in the game. That Leon guy is probably the difference in the game.
Yep, the lefty Justin Leon played a superior game, and we just didn't have an answer for him. You know, he got to second shot, he created multiple opportunities for the Gators. He went to the free throw line and knocked down some shots. And then you throw him in with the productivity that Kevon Allen had. And then in the second half, you know, we're just not there. And then just don't forget Canyon Berry, who went 4 for 5 from the field. And scores, well, I had him at 11 points. He may have ended up with 13 points for the basketball game.
Guard your yard. That sounds like something that Butchie Boy Jones, the sloganeer of the Olympics, would say. The official sloganeer of the Olympics. Guard. How's it feel, Tony Jones, when I say it's, well, Griff, any other observations for us before I try to get Tony Jones in trouble? Any other observations, Mark Griffin?
No, I think you guys pretty much covered it. It's just interesting to see, too, that Barry, you know, looking at Barry, had a really good game, and look where he came from, a mid-major. Look at Leon, who had a career high tonight. They were saying he was going to go to, I believe,
La Tech. That's right.
You know, you're talking guys that aren't five stars. Now, Kevon Allen was and played like it tonight. But it's not like this Florida team's loaded with five-star players as well. I think you're going to see an improvement with that in the next couple of years under this coach. I think you're going to see a much improved team. So this was a really good time for Tennessee to get a win tonight. It's just unfortunate they didn't come out on top. But like y'all said before, and I'll reiterate, is this defensive lack of intensity. And it just seemed like Leon carried them, had the will, more of the will to win than we had tonight.
Is that a deal, Griff, in your opinion, that's just going to happen at times during the season? Or is what you saw tonight troubling, coupled with what we saw in the second half against Arkansas?
Well, I think it's just going to be it's just a long SEC season, and it's really hard to pinpoint reasons why one either plays well or does not. You want that consistency, and like you had said even earlier, Tony, or I'm sorry, Keith had mentioned about the growth for the future. You know, you just want to see guys get better, and if you're able to witness teams and players not improving, that's the concern that I have. Now, I don't get caught up in what the record is right now. I'm just concerned about improvement to see where they're going to get in March. But we got to have that more consistently across the line with more players than just have one guy come in tonight like Schofield and have a big game, but yet have your senior not be able to contribute when he's not ever, when Hub's not ever going to be able to play at Florida again. So
it's weird.
I'd like to see more,
really weird.
More consistency.
Tonight's night, Keith, of everything we've talked about so far, in light of the start of the year, Hubs is just, whatever it was, lack of juice, was really just surprising, wasn't it?
I want to say so, Tony, but I mean, and he's been here 4 years. We've never seen it on a nightly basis yet. Some guys just are what they are, Tony. I mean, I think honestly, he's just a far less talented version of Michael Beasley. You're going to get what he's going to look all world some nights, and then you're going to get what you got tonight.
It just goes in and out because Griff's issue with him has always been to me, says, body language. But Griff, up till now and up till the other night when he disappeared a little bit in the second half, he's looked pretty take charge, and he said take charge things, but he's played, now 60 minutes of, I hate to say this, but he's back in Hubsville. He's back being Hubs again.
Yeah, and even though he didn't hang his head, and I think that's something that the coaching staff has really worked with him because it is contagious for your other teammates. It's like a cancer when you do lower that head, and I've been on him for 4 years on that. But at the same point, you're a senior. And I do think you can make a difference in basketball in a year, even more significantly than you may can in other sports, because people do remember what you do as a senior. And this is his last hurrah. And just to be able to go on a road against such a rival as Florida and not be a factor is just disappointing to me to watch in Hubs. And I just wish I could just shake the guy and say, look, this is it for you. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to be done. And you're going to look back and wish you'd played harder against teams like this, and there's nothing you can do about it now.
Boy, that is true. Tony, you know that as well as I do, that this thing is fleeting. And that's a great point Griff just made, isn't it? How but you can't climb inside a kid's head and tell him that, can you, Tone?
No, you can't. And I got a number of illustrations that, that I could point to. I mean, back in the day when I coached at Toledo, it was a guy named Art Norman who was a really good player, had a good junior college career. And then I seen him about 4 years after he completed his eligibility, and he came up to me, and, he was an underachiever, so to speak, in some aspect. And he came up to me and said, Coach, I just wish I could practice one more time. And that probably be the same MO. Robert Hubs, you guys have seen him more throughout his career than I have since I was out coaching at other venues for the past few years. But how would you view him compared to a guy like Scotty Hobson?
Griff, what do you think? Compare him to Scotty Hobson.
I mean, that's a great point. For me, I'm not as disappointed in Scotty Hobson's play than I am with Robert Hubs' play, because I think they're both great athletes, and there is a comparison there. But it's just that I think that there's been more opportunity for Robert to take over a game and not do it where Scotty Hobson would.
Let me ask Keith Hatfield that. That's a great question there. Keith, how do you compare those two?
Well, I mean, I think they're both guys who their coaches wanted to be great far more than they wanted to be great. And I mean, when that's the case, you're usually going to get a situation like what you've got.
Those guys. Let me throw one other thing into the mix here as we get ready to wind tonight down. We're up against the NFL playoffs, case array, saray. And Tony wants to go watch a game, and so do I. 21 seconds left. Ole Miss just hit a three ball. They're up on Auburn, 85-84. Tony, if you have an update on that, you might be looking at it, you might not. Auburn had a large lead in this game. They've been outscored 52-43 at this point in the second half. They're fixing to fall to 0-3 in the SEC unless something happens. That's surprising. Vanderbilt, guys, is getting ready. They're on the verge of going 3-0 in the league as they have a 39-30